Hey, everybody. In this show, we discuss the price action that we're seeing right now on Other Deed on the back of a rumor that Yuga Labs is going to be coming out with an announcement shortly. We're seeing CODAs and different pieces of Other Deed land going for big time prices and just in general, quite a bit of volume on the project. We also bring on a sponsored spot. Bored Elon shares details on BoardBox, which is his video game focused NFT project that is actually minting today. We gave away two board boxes, one ETH value each. Really fun having him on the show. And as usual, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. Hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Live from Minneapolis, Minnesota, VCon is happening this weekend. The crew is out in Minneapolis, but we are delighted to be with you here on this Friday morning, 1 hour earlier for us because of the time zone change. So that's definitely been interesting this morning. Today's space is sponsored by BoardBox and Bored Elon, or just Bored these days. We'll dig into that later. So really excited to talk about that. Nick, what's going on?
Well, I'm just hanging out, you know, I'm feeling good.
I heard you got chocolate wasted last night, Nick.
I had a popsicle. It wasn't even chocolate. And P.O.'s out of here claiming that it was chocolate wasted. Look, it would have been a different scenario if chocolate was involved. That was a free sponsored popsicle by some, I don't even remember the name of the company. I definitely would be shouting them out now if I knew what they were. But it was tasty, definitely sugar heavy. And I properly timed stepping in front of the camera for P.O. to capture that just gloriously beautiful photo of myself. You know, I would definitely present that to anybody because it's just so, you know, so incredible.
Yeah, it was definitely.
Oh, go ahead, did you see that? Did you see the meme of the all the heads making you go long in that photo?
That was a riot.
I did not see that.
You probably should. You'll get a kick out of it.
Incredible.
Yeah, but what a surprise that a popsicle was heavy on the sugar, Nick. I was definitely surprised that you and Easy Eats, two grown men, were just, you know, ready to consume a free popsicle. But then again, I shouldn't have been surprised.
How many, I drank zero alcohol. How many bottles of wine did you consume?
Multiple.
Okay. So then,
Nick, I have a serious question, though. Do you sleep at night in a button-up shirt or just for naps?
Okay.
Well, that was funny because, like, I think Easy already, he made the joke. He was like, Nick is definitely, like, because you said you were going to take a nap, which, first of all, you saying it that you're going to take a nap is funny in itself. And then Easy definitely made the joke, like, he's probably going to be sleeping
this
in a button
down. This is ageism, like, live on the show here. So everyone out there who's older, I'm sorry, older than, you know, 35, I apologize on behalf of P.O. for this sort of insulting commentary that they provide because, you know, they think, wow, Nick's old and he can't even make it, you know, to the bathroom to like he needs diapers now. Like
we didn't
that's
say
the
that.
Commentary that he's saying. That's basically what you just said. And I just want to apologize to everyone over 35. I realize you don't need to wear diapers. It's all good. P.O. just is speaking out of line.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just thought it was funny that Easy made the joke that you're probably sleeping in a button down. And then we FaceTimed with you and you actually had been sleeping in a button down. But either way, yesterday was a lot of fun.
What can I say?
We went to the VCon event. And when we got there, there was a line around the block. So Nick is a speaker. So Nick just has VIP access to everything. He just strolls right in. But me and Easy, the two peasants of the group, had to wait in line. And we had to wait in line around the block. And halfway through the line, I just see Jeff Staple walking over. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's Jeff Staple. And he just goes right through the barricade. They just let him right in. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, like, so there was some interesting stuff going on. But shout out to everybody that came up to us and said what's up at VCon yesterday. That was a great time. And it looks like today the show really begins. I guess Gary had said, hey, it's a good idea to show up at 7 a.m., it's 8:10 now here in Minnesota. Do we know what people that showed up at 7 a.m. got?
Sorry, that got up to 7 a.m. to go to the conference?
Yeah, he tweeted like, you're going to want to be there at 7 a.m.
I feel like that's like a Gary Hook. where like he always posts these like call to actions where it's like, you're going to want to buy 10 bottles of this type of wine because something special is going to happen. And now that NFTs exist, there's like this hope. I feel like that everyone's going to be like, okay, if I wake up at 7 a.m., there's a chance that I get something that's going to make me a ton of money right now.
Did he tell you guys to buy 12 of each ticket like he did with the books?
No, he definitely didn't, but he did text me to buy a spectacular. I replied that I'd bought a spectacular. He didn't reply to my text message. So
gotcha.
I was like, okay, cool. I just spent 10 grand. Thanks, Gary.
What was he going to respond? Just mission accomplished. He told you to buy a spectacular. You spent 10,000 bucks on a spectacular. His call to action worked.
Yo, thanks. I don't know. Like, if I texted you, if I say buy a portal, that's $100. If Gary bought that, I'd probably send him 10 messages and be like, oh my God, thank you so much for that. I spent 10 grand. It doesn't even deserve a response. You know, like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I delivered on his request and here I am, you know.
Look, he's a different type of dude, man. He's at a higher level than us.
I'm down 50%. So that's great.
Okay, well, we should probably start the show. Signal, we were talking about you doing a live weather report from the stadium. Are you at the stadium right now?
We actually met Signal yesterday, right?
We met Signal, which was incredible.
Yeah, morning, folks. No, I'm not at the stadium. I decided to go. I have to do the weather report really early because I'm in the U.S. now. So it's really annoying because I wake up at like 5:45, 6 a.m. I was like, nah, I'm not going down to the stadium queue because there's going to be like a whole bunch of like fans queuing, sleeping with tents, and I'm going to rock up after the show. So if you're out there, looking forward to saying hi. But my co-anchor, Captain Kicks, you're on weather?
Hey, yes, I'm actually at the stadium right now with Gary V. Dude smiling ear to ear, just absolutely loving life down here. He's got some real energy. I don't know if it's Adderall or if this is natural. I did see him go to the bathroom about 5 minutes ago, came out with a ton of energy. Gary, do you have anything to say?
Well, yeah, I'm just really excited for everyone to come down to the stadium, and we're just going to be making a lot of, you know, energy here. And I know the NFTs are in a little bit of a bear market, okay? But that's fine. And we're all really here for the next 3 to 5 years.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gary V. All right. Well, I'll get into the weather report right now.
OpenSea volume at $38 million. Magic Eden popped a little bit overnight to $7 million, about a 40% improvement. And then have to shout out LooksRare with 10.58 million in volume, which is about 30% of OpenSea. So we're continuing to see LooksRare and Magic Eden chipping away at OpenSea's lead. If you combine the two together, they're more than 50% of OpenSea's volume. One of the most interesting things is that if you look at the average price for LooksRare, it's 6.39K. But per sale, whereas OpenSea is $318. So the average NFT sells about 20 times more expensive on LooksRare. The amount of daily active traders on OpenSea is 40,000. The amount of daily active traders on LooksRare is only 1,500. So LooksRare is really starting to position itself as like a niche website for high-end sales because people like to get the LooksRare rewards.
Yeah, it's like a rewards thing. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Anything else there, sir?
No, it's just like biased numbers with LooksRare.
Exactly. Yes. In terms of blue chips, we're looking at price action here. Apes at 96 ETH, Mutants at 19 ETH. There was a little bit of interesting drama. A Twitter account by the name of NFT Anonymous yesterday. 2-3 weeks ago had bought a Bored Ape for 160 ETH, dumped it yesterday to an offer for 86 ETH, clocking a loss high into the six figures, proceeded to go buy a rare Milady for 15 ETH. Hours later, it was leaked out that the Milady project is full of Nazis and pedophiles. Looking at the rest of the blue chips, Azuki, Konex, and Doodles ranging at 13 ETH, Moonbirds at 26 ETH. A lot of action over on the other deed side. I actually had a dream about them last night, which is usually bullish. Continues to have the highest volume over the past 24 hours. Floor has steadily broken past that 3 ETH wall, holding at 3.2 ETH. As I mentioned before, the Miladies faced intense scrutiny after the collection was linked to far-right ideology and nefarious online activities. Their floor is still at 1 ETH because everyone that bought that creepy-ass NFT already knew that to begin with. Reptilian Renegade, a collection that was doing well on Solana. If you watch our episode on YouTube on Monday, I completely bash this project, and this makes me feel good. It is a confirmed rug. Once again, we've been struck by the Batman of Solana,
the Joker,
who has rugged previously with Balloonsville. This guy's a serial rugger, and the best part is he doesn't disappear. He sticks around to make fun of everyone, and then he focuses on the next project. Looking over at the crypto markets, Bitcoin at 30K, ETH at 2, Ape at $8. So we're seeing a lot of ranging here. Volume continuing to stay low. Good projects have recovered from their lows, but they're ranging. We're not seeing much action, much pumping. It's quiet out there, but at least there's not death and chaos in the streets. Back to you in the studio.
Well, that was an epic weather report, Kix. Thank you so much for that. We have a lot to actually talk about today. I want to just call some attention, ladies and gentlemen, to the tweet that's pinned to the top. That's our kind of sponsorship tweet. If you retweet that tweet and you follow BoardBox, which BoardBox is today's sponsor, then you will have an opportunity to win some free BoardBox NFTs that actually dropped today. We have Bored Elon on stage, or just Bored these days. And obviously, we're going to talk in depth about BoardBox later in the show, but I'm excited just to have Board here. He's been on the show before. I know that he has a background with, you know, investing in NFTs, so definitely a wealth of information. How's it going this morning, Board?
Really good. Go along to you guys. And Pio, shout out to you for playing a Prince song while you're in Minneapolis. Nobody gave you love for that, but I noticed it.
Appreciate it, man. I was like looking for Minneapolis rappers after the fact to do a little hip hop thing like I normally do. And the only like the name that kept coming up was Young Gravy. And I pinged Easy and I said, is Young Gravy good? And he said he was a meme rapper. So I elected to do J Dilla, who's from Detroit.
No, dude, you should have done Young Gravy. Are you kidding me?
Maybe we'll close out with Young Gravy then. I don't know. I mean, it felt weird to play him after Prince. It felt weird to play him after Prince. J Dilla's from
They're
Detroit,
comparable.
So fuck it.
Is that Young Gravy like sauce or Young Gravy like turkey gravy?
Unconfirmed.
Look up Young Gravy Mr. Clean. That's one of his top songs. 62 million listens.
Apparently Captain Kix has been actively listening to Young Gravy for years now. Huge fan.
You know, we had so much action yesterday between that rug pull that we talked about and some of those other things that Kix covered in the weather report. Me and Easy were comparing the guy that's rug pulling, the high school kid, really a child that's rug pulling on Solana, to the Joker and not Batman specifically, because he's like out of his mind. And obviously it's a pretty demented approach to trying to raise awareness in the space by essentially stealing people's money. We're going to talk about that on YouTube too. Easy, what do you think of that?
No, I'm reading some of his comments. Today he said, today is day one of my Batman arc. So it sounds like he's, just really here to do good for the people. I really am so excited for all the positive he's brought to the space. I think I'm down about 100 Solana on his rugs. What's there really to be mad about? You know, like, this is just awesome. It's so much fun. He drains liquidity out of the ecosystem. He airs out everyone's favorite influencers. It's a blast. Like, guys, just he's on it, you know.
I think he's switching to Batman because I think he's scared shitless because he knows people are gonna find out who you really
are. He got doxxed last night. They posted his address, picture of him. Yeah, and then he said that's a fake profile. I paid 20
grand. Exactly what you would say when you get caught. You'd be like, that's not me, dude. I bought that ID from someone on the street.
Bro, he said he paid 20 grand for it, and I was just like, huh. All right. Interesting for just like some random ID down the road. I bet. All right, let's believe that. But I don't know. The other thing I wanted to call out too was the M'Lady thing you brought up. Allison in the Discord and I were talking about this project like a while ago. And we joined like their community space just to like get an idea of what was going on. And it was sus, man. They just had some weird shit going on. Like, they were talking about 3D printing weapons and like it was, I mean, I just left like almost immediately and I was like, this is just sus. It just felt like a 4chan sub channel for NFTs.
Yeah, I was about to say, it sounds like if 4chan made an NFT.
That was like the exact vibe I got. It was weird, man.
It sounds weird as fuck. It was only a matter of time before it was going to happen. Node, were you going to say something?
Well, it's just, I'm trying to figure it out. It's so strange because some of the biggest influencers in the fungible land are like big
like
fans.
Like D's and Andy.
Yeah, like, even like a bunch of people that are in crypto, like, I don't know, like Ansem and I don't know if Kobe has one or Path, like all those guys that are huge crypto OGs. It feels like they were like pretty big on M'Lady's, and there's this weird
and they all just got out of his pedophiles.
Man, I love Kobe, so I would never say anything bad about that guy. And I don't know what, you know, hopefully there is no affiliation, because it would make me sad if there is something there. But there is, like, there's this weird dynamic, right, between crypto people that do NFTs, and then there's our market that are just NFTs. And I've always struggled to figure it out. It's like the Tubby Cats and the M'Ladies. Those are the two that like all those guys seem to be pumping. But I
Pudgy Penguins before that.
Was that?
And Pudgy Penguins before that, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they like decide on a project and then all jump in together and just show as much as possible.
Yeah, because they have like an inside group probably where they all kind of like line up. They're like, all right, let's all buy this project, and then this is the one that we pumped. I honestly don't think any of those guys, or at least not most of them, are into any of that weird stuff. I literally think that they just like pick a project and they're like, this is a fun meme project to get behind. They seem to really gravitate towards like more of the meme-y stuff. So like the tricky thing about M'Lady is there's that like eternal meme, like, hello M'Lady, you know what I mean, which just means you're kind of like awkward, you know what I mean? It doesn't mean you're like a pedophile.
It's but also the worst looking PFP collection there
that's
is.
What I was about to say, and it's all, isn't it like all pictures of like young kind of looking girls? Yeah. Yeah, that should start to set off some red flags from the gate. You know what I mean? Like,
a 30-year-old, I don't really crave using little cartoon girls as their profile pictures.
Yeah, yeah, I don't trade that shit, man. I don't care how much money you can make.
Well, on that space or the show we did a few evenings ago, the person that came with an expert level troll, I have to give them credit that it was an expert level troll, was, I believe, shilling M'Lady's as well. So that's kind of in line.
Oh, was she? Yeah, I think she was.
Makes sense, right?
What?
I said it makes sense, right?
Well, I was also going to say, as Easy was discussing with this other rug puller, there's a major movement. You know, what I've been realizing here is these 16-year-olds are way more capable nowadays. I was explaining to someone else yesterday, you know, I was in Lululemon at Mall of America yesterday, and I noticed a trend which I've never seen in any other Lululemon, and that was a lot of 13 to 16-year-olds purchasing Lululemon clothes. Now, I don't know who their fucking parents are, but somehow they're affording, you know, a $130 tank top. Where the hell is that coming from?
They're scammers, dude. They're like credit card. They're scamming so credit cards.
All those girls were basically like NFT scammers. That would actually make sense. Now, are they
like stealing credit cards online?
That's definitely what was going on. You know, next time I'm in there, if I run into that again, I'm just going to immediately report them and go after them. I'm sure that won't get me into any sort of issues.
Nick, did you say you were shopping in Lululemon?
We hopped in there for a moment. I was not shopping. I did not buy anything. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what? Who initiated this hopping into the Lululemon?
Yeah, so Signal actually did. I'm going to be honest. So Signal wanted to go into Lululemon. I'm sorry to throw you out there, Signal. She was the one that wanted
just
to go
under
in
the
there.
Bus, Nick. You're just throwing me under the
Signal,
bus.
How
that's more okay, Signal.
Yeah, but
it's
Signal,
okay either way.
Signal, how excited was Nick though to like agree to the idea?
I mean, there was no protesting at all. He was like, "Yeah, let's go in."
I was walking in wearing Lululemon.
He mentioned it earlier in the day and then brought it up again to her as they're passing by, like it was her idea.
No, my intention was to go to Apple. I ended up buying something that turned out to be the wrong purchase decision. So now I need to go back and return it. It's like a whole situation now at this point. We don't need to get into the nuance of this. Let's just be clear, though. All the 16-year-olds now are, and I'm generalizing the age. It could be as low as 13 to 16. They're just all scam artists now. So you want to watch out, okay? So just be careful. If your children are 13 to 16, I just want to let you know what they're up to nowadays. They're utilizing NFTs to steal other people's money. Jesse's coming on stage to provide what I'm guessing is some deep commentary on that demographic, but that's just my understanding at this point.
Forget it. You front ran me, man. Yeah. I got a 15-year-old kid. I keep telling him I don't want him to go to college. My wife thinks I'm joking. I'm saying there's money out there to be made. He knows who Gary Vee is, but he's not bought in yet. So DM me. DMs are open. I'll get his DMs open, and whoever the scammer is,
why not put him?
Hit me up so we can get this kid to make some money.
Why don't you put him through like
Jesse's son, everyone?
Put him through a scam artist training course and like just let him know that there's millions to be made here, and just remember you got to help him with sort of changing his identity and some of these other things so that he can misdirect people if he's going to get docked.
This is true bear market discussion. Like stuff. Yeah, like you're just finding out that there's like 16 and 17-year-olds just that have been scamming us left and right for a year now. That there's like these like fringe groups of pedophile Nazis just like launching projects that somehow half of popular crypto Twitter is also in on, and with floors at like one ETH when everything else is dying. It's like, I mean, hey, this is entertaining, content to be the least, but man, does the dirty laundry come out in a bear market. This is good though. We flush it out. The next bull is going to be pure. It's going to be clean. We're going to be frolicking through fields of sunflowers, holding hands and laughing with none of this baggage, none of this evil associated with us.
I just noticed that Node is not on stage anymore, and I wonder if he just thought that this discussion was
selling his maladies.
You never know. The one thing I also wanted to call out is that Nick cannot go into like an Apple store or an electronics store and not buy something. It's just not a thing. Like if you get him in one of those stores, he's going to buy something.
No, actually, you want to know something? Apple made me schedule an appointment to go spend $1,000 in there. I walked into the store and I was like, hi, I'd like to buy this iPad here, and because I want to replace one that's like 6 years old. Anyways, so I go in there. I've been thinking about this. I've been preparing for this purchase for easily hours. And I walk into the place, and they're like, sorry, sir, you're going to need an appointment. And I'm like, an appointment to give you money? And they're like, yeah, you're going to need an appointment. You're going to need to come back and probably, let me check the calendar here, 45 minutes. And I'm like, okay. So I came back in 45, actually a little bit later, because Signal and I were busy riding roller coasters in Mall of America. Sorry, Easy. But Easy, I got to return the iPad. If you want to go back there, I'm down for round two.
Well, there you go. It sounds like we're going to have another shot to go to Mall of America. I also, I haven't asked him yet, but I see him in the audience. I was hoping that maybe we could carve out some time with Franelations to go sneaker shopping. So I buy something that's actually dope and not like a dad shoe.
Were you physically intimidated by Redbeard when you met him last night?
Well, that was super funny. So if people didn't see the pictures, we got into a physical altercation with Redbeard when we saw him. It was an example of Twitter beef turning into in real life beef. And basically, he kicked our asses. So that's what happened yesterday with Redbeard from Look Labs. That was super fun. He was a really nice guy in person. It was pretty interesting meeting him. There were so many cool people at the event. I mean, I brought Zach on stage. We'll talk to him shortly. He actually went out to dinner with us. So I can only imagine how scarred he is. Being exposed to me and Nick in real life. But, Kix, you were talking about some good stuff regarding this bear market or whatever market we're in right now. It is definitely interesting. And seeing other deeds creep up a little bit, right? Because there's 100,000 of them. I want to hear from Kix, from Jesse, honestly, from Board as well. Jesse, you talk about how you sell the rumor in the NFT space, right? It's not buy the rumor, sell the news. It's sell the rumor. And this is an example of that right now. If you were somebody that owns other deeds right now that was looking for an exit, Jesse, would you sell the rumor or would you sell the news? Or is the news too much of a risk?
I mean, I'm not sure. When you reported the other day that, you know, there was that person that bought, I don't know what it was, 180 grand worth of other deeds. I mean, I don't know what is the rumor. It's like you want to sell the insider, you know, trading leak, I guess, or you want to buy the insider trading leak and then sell the rumor like that comes after the leak. Like that's what I was trying to get at.
So horribly mispriced, in my opinion. Other deeds is, it's hard to be bearish on Bored Ape Yacht Club, but I've never felt more bearish before in this circumstance. And shout out to everyone who's about to shame me on this comment. But like the price on a lot of this land is just absolutely fucking absurd for a thing that doesn't exist. Let's say it does exist. I don't understand what, like, I guess maybe the only way that this works out is this has to become Fortnite. It has to become Fortnite, and you literally need, and I'm talking about in terms of cultural phenomenon in which, but here's the kid, the thing, kids don't give a fuck about your Bored Ape. Like, they literally do not care. The target demographic of people who are playing games, young people for the most part. I'm not saying that older people don't play games, but the bottom line is that's the primary demographic. Kids coming home from school playing video games, spending their whole weekends playing video games. I just think the price of this is absurd. If you do end up buying a plot in the dead center of Fortnite for 45 grand, that ends up looking like an absolute steal. And then you look like a genius. And that's what has to happen in order for this to work out.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I've said that, the metaverse is where all dreams go to perish, right? And I think, you know, this is probably the cause of the bear market. But, I agree. I think Fortnite is the example. And again, like you said, okay, fine, the kids aren't going to play Fortnite. But I guess the idea is that if this can be Fortnite for this group of older, financialized, but kind of, you know, cooler, I guess, investor, like, if they, you know, for the NFT, it's like Fortnite for the NFT space, right? There's something about Fortnite, there's something about Clash of Clans, Clash Royale, that even like some older people will just, or you know, even the Facebook games, right? There's an incentive mechanism in our brains which wants to keep going back to some of these games that are really well designed. And I think that's basically it. The people that are really committed to this are willing to do the thing where they're, you know, planting fake, you know, whatever, or like buying a whatever they need to you know, improve their land. And I think I think the Fortnite is definitely the model.
The bull case for other side is that people over 30 don't have to lose to middle schoolers at Fortnite anymore. They can actually win on the other side because they can't afford to get in the middle schoolers.
Yeah, I was going to just chime in with the gaming side, but I think Fortnite is exactly that. Like, it's a place for kids and teenagers to hang out. But the truth is, you know, dudes in their 20s and 30s and 40s do hang out in Call of Duty and Rocket League, Overwatch, and they just chat and they mess around, and they don't want to do that in a kids game. And so I think the other side is positioned to be that. It's kind of people who are well off who don't necessarily want to play like twitchy shooters where they have to be on Ritalin and, you know, high strung to actually win. The other side could be that. Is it worth, you know, spending $10,000 a year to be in that? That's the big question mark. But I think that's what they're trying to be for the metaverse.
Board, there's a lot of macro data that shows men in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, like, the gaming hours are rising and rising and rising,
in conjunction with
unemployment, yeah. But still.
Yeah, I mean,
it's more likely that buying the land will be for people to generate resources, but you'll still be able to play. And the technology that they've been previewing recently with thousands and thousands of people all active at the same time is just such a more massive experience than anything we've seen in any gaming so far. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be available for people to play, but in order to actually earn or generate resources of any kind, you'll actually have to own the land.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys caught the leak from Herman Narula from Improbable, the CEO, but I let him I let him leak something from my profile yesterday, where basically thousands of people were talking to each other in a demo, in like a tech demo, And that's going to be a sneak preview of, you know, what you're going to be able to do in other side. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. It's not so much like a shooter game. It's more of a hangout game, and they're going to probably build lots of game mechanics into it. But I'm excited to play, genuinely.
And do you own other side?
It's a hangout game. What? Yes.
Think about that. Like, Fortnite is a hangout game. Like, Rocket League is a hangout game. It's people on voice chat hanging out with their buddies. I mean, that is
Rocket League. I'm diamond in Rocket League. I go in a Rocket League to whoop some fucking ass.
Let's go.
I like Rocket League as well, and they didn't implement voice chat until, like, last week or something like that again. I'm like afraid of chatting with anyone other than my team, to be completely honest, because it's going to be some kid who's being like, oh, I just fucking schooled the shit out of you, old man. I just absolutely dominated your face. Oh, God, you suck.
And you're going to get so mad.
They can't get in there.
Nick, all of this is a bullish case for the other side, obviously.
Okay, I got to buy some of this damn land. I'm getting pissed off, man. This is this was a complete disaster.
You're going to buy it under one ETH in, like, probably the next 30 days.
Here's the thing. What happened? Yeah, you're probably right. I hope that I can. I would love to be able to buy this at a discount. I made one bad trade so far with this and a couple of good trades. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, like, I'm wondering how long – I mean, that supply is tough to sustain. And if you look at the activity on other side, it's kind of crazy. We're in a quote-unquote bear market. There was a sale 3 minutes ago at 3.2 Ethereum, which is $6,500. There was a sale 6 minutes ago at 28 Ethereum, which is $56,000. So literally within the past 6 minutes – and
back in my day, that used to be $100,000.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But this is actually, it was a CODA and it has an offer of 20. Holy shit. So did the CODAs, like, are the CODAs being
the CODAs priced? Are back. They went back above like 22 ETH, I think.
Fuck.
Oh shit.
Yeah. CODAs are flying. And the rumors are that there's going to be some kind of CODA airdrop like we've been discussing, but it's going to come sooner than later and they'll be decoupled from the land. So now, like, The thing that you have to think about if you have a CODA is the land that it's on, you know, you have to try and figure out what the separation will be when the CODAs are separated. So, like, what is the land that your CODA is on worth after the CODA is removed from it? And so that's a calculation people are trying to make right now. And the floor of CODAs has gone up, I think, like 6 ETH since last week.
Oh, my God.
There was an announcement yesterday, I think, about how the claim is going to be ending within the next few days, and whatever is not claimed will be basically used by the Bored Ape team to distribute to, like, you know, contributors and developers of the SDKs and things like that, which also will have the second pairing of land later on attached to it. There's still over 100 CODAs that haven't been revealed yet. There's still, I think, 4 or 5 mega CODAs that haven't been revealed yet, and I think we can expect some kind of other side announcement within the next week that'll pump it up more.
Holy shit. 20 minutes ago, $81,000 sale on a CODA on Bored Ape Yacht Club land. Let's go. CODAs are back. You guys are seeing it.
This
sorry
bullshit.
Nifty Nick. Sorry.
Turned out I bought it at a good price the other day.
You did.
Nick, when you whine, though, it's the wildest things. Because I didn't – what did you sell your land for, all your land for?
Everything and the CODAs. I mean, I put $250,000 or something.
Okay, yeah. And guess what? The prices have dropped by about 55% since then. And you're over there sitting on your pile of golden coins whining. Oh, I didn't buy the absolute bottom of CODAs. I'm such an idiot.
But I did. I bought back in and then I panic sold because the world was ending last week. Don't worry. The world's going to be ending again in a week or two. So, and that's when I'm going to buy back in from all those panic sellers who Look, how is the floor of CODA's above Mutant API Club at this point? That's the thing that I don't understand. I guess
there's 10,000 of them.
Exactly. Because there's only 10,000 of them because we don't know what the fuck they are and because there hasn't been an airdrop yet. Let's go.
But CODA's you guys have been shitting on the dogs for not getting you into anything. Like, the CODA gets you, who knows, something maybe if you're lucky and it looks like a fat little jellyfish thing. Like, I'm good, dude. These things are going to go lower. You're buying hype. There's 100,000 more pieces of peasant land dropping. I don't know. I'm not sold on it. It's an announcement pump.
Okay.
Just remember, there's two different things, though. There's the Bored Ape ecosystem and the other side ecosystem. So they're trying to separate them out. And yeah, you know, you don't know what you're getting yet. And there is speculation that's driving them up a little bit. But to think that they aren't going to give big benefits for people who got into CODA's, I think, is underestimating. Well,
Ben, I got a great way to explain it. Have you you've seen Star Wars, right?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, you know when they land on that planet with the little little midget furry guys, Wookiees?
Yeah.
Ewoks, they're native to that planet and they whoop the humans' ass, right? CODA's are obviously native to the other side, so they're going to inherently in PvP battles whoop the shit out of these bored apes who like came here on like a drank a bottle of psychedelics and then flew on a spaceship. Like, you know, it's a strategic advantage in PvP to have a CODA. That's my understanding.
Kicks, my CODA is literally called a corn husk. What kind of battle power do you think that the corn husks are going to get?
He's probably more on the strategy side. You know, he's probably in the bunker, communicating with the other CODAs, telling them, you know, positionally how to take down the ape army.
Farming the land.
Ranged elotes attacks.
But I mean, have you ever gotten hit in the head by a corn husk? Like, they're not soft, bro.
Don't forget an explosive popcorn. It's deadly.
Good call on that one. That's what I'm talking. That's innovation right there. Corn husk grenades.
Well, bringing up the fact that CODA's are more expensive than mutants right now, I'm looking at Mutant Ape Yacht Club, and I don't know if people have been looking. So typically the floor mutant ape is the droopy face. That's typically the floor mutant ape. But there are several M1 grin mutant apes. Like, literally the cheapest mutant right now is an M1 grin that's clean as hell. And then there's two or three more right above floor, like super close to floor. Do you guys think that if I sell my mutant and buy one of these M1 grins, I can explain to the IRS that I just traded it and I won't have to pay the short-term capital gains on the sale of my mutant? Do you think that'll work?
Maybe if you do NFTX.
Well, that would be incredible. I mean, I'm like really tempted. There's never been so many M1 grins right at the floor. There's literally 5, 6, 7 M1 grins right at the floor.
Wait, so you're gonna sell a CODA to get a mutant?
No, my mutant. I'm not a big fan of my mutant's aesthetic. I'm a big fan of M1 grin mutants, and there have never been more M1 grin mutants on the floor. I'm very surprised by the current situation. That's an indicator that people are just trying to get out of Mutant Ape Yacht Club. I mean, look, the market can go in any direction, but I have to think it's probably a decent time to get into Mutant Ape Yacht Club. If you can get M1 Grin, which is, I think, the most popular trait for mutants, at least for M1 mutants, there's a lot of good stuff at the floor right now. Anyway,
I need to go hunting, I think, but I also have two mutants. My question is, would you trade one mutant for a CODA?
If you have multiple, I would have said that before. You're buying into the current pump on the CODAs. Like, they're pumping now. We just looked at those sales. It's kind of crazy. Like, I mean, look, we're in a quote unquote bear market. Look at the sales on other deed land. Like, there are crazy sales. Like, when there's $50,000 plus sales 10 times an hour, that's pretty crazy. Like, 15 minutes ago, 65K. 19 minutes ago, 54K. 26 minutes ago, 81.5K. 30 minutes ago, 57K. An hour ago, 51K. Like, it's kind of nuts.
It's so hard to tell if that's just, you know, ETH is a little bit stabilized again. And, you know, as long as people are kind of confident that ETH isn't going to crash, or that, you know, crypto's not going to crash, right? It's going to go back into Bored Apes first. I mean, I thought it was funny the other day when Captain Kick said, you know, gaming is going to be good in going to be big in 2023. Like I'm old enough to remember back in January and December when gaming was supposed to be 2022. So we made it 5 months, guys. Congratulations. Games are dead in 2022, but I guess in 2023 they're coming. I think this is just basically Bored Ape. People that can't get into Bored Apes, as long as ETH is okay, they want to buy in, because the gaming stuff, I mean, it can't be done on Sol. I mean, it can't be done on ETH, right? It's just never, you, anything that requires a lot of transactions is going to be on an L2, and no L2 is one yet. So, I mean, unless Captain Kicks, you know, I'll defer to the gamers, but I think this is just more of a Bored Apes play than any sort of news of a game or anything.
Well, it looks like the absolute bottom of other deeds was May 11th. I don't know what day you bought, Nick, but anything before May 15th was basically a bottom or close
basically
to
basically May 11th.
Really?
I mean, somewhere around that.
9 days ago?
Yeah. It was basically when the market was crashing, and then there was some Bored Ape Yacht Club made a tweet, sort of a teaser tweet, or other deeds did, and then there was a run on Codas. I bought into that run. They were as low as like 16. My original stated target was 15. And we got very, very close to it. And I was like, I just got to get this at this point. It's at the price that I said. And then it started running. I got in at like 19. Immediately, all of the liquidity dried up because all liquidity was gone at that moment, pretty much everywhere. And there now were a bunch of people trying to flip out of what they had just bought. And so the floor started tanking. And I was like, what the hell? And I couldn't get anyone to buy mine. So I ended up taking a loss of like a couple of ETH, which frankly, it doesn't matter. I mean, I won big on the land. So I'm going to need some losses this year anyways. But I think that, I don't know. Holding on to it would have been the right move. But I'm just like, man, I'm really exposed to NFTs regardless.
Yeah.
And just continuing to buy in, it's like, is this the smart answer is yeah, you do buy back into this one. Like this just seems like maybe I trade one mutant for a Coda and call that a nice, well-diversified portfolio among Bored Ape Yacht Club related stuff.
Well, yeah, a Coda just sold 3 minutes ago for 60 grand.
I don't want to hear it. I really don't want to hear it.
It's not even on Mutant Land. I want to ask Bored, and so everybody retweet the tweet to the top. Today's show is sponsored by Bored Box, which is the project dropping today by Bored that we're going to talk about in depth. Retweet the tweet at the top, and we're going to be giving away some Bored Box NFTs. Really excited about it.
How many are we giving away? What's some?
The sum?
You said we're going to be giving away some. What's the exact quantity we're aiming for here?
Bored. How many are? And we're, just so everyone knows, we're giving them away. Bored is not giving them away. We are actually giving them away ourselves. But Bored, how many are we, as in me and Nick, giving away today?
Wait,
now Nick has to do it too. That was kind of up to you guys. You know, we were proud to sponsor the show, and whatever you guys feel is appropriate to give away. I don't want to make that decision for you. I think one is great. They're one ETH each, and you know, we'd love to give one away to the audience. So, but you guys can make the call.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to be giving away one. I just synced up with Eric on that. But on this, on the subject of other deed Bored, because you are building, you know, in the NFT gaming space. So the general narrative among, like, so the market kind of has one narrative, right? We're watching a ton of sales happen on other deed and high price sales. But if you talk to like the average NFT participant, I think a lot of people are skeptical. This show has been skeptical on just how viable other deed is going to be, the fact that it's on Ethereum. Can you build a game on Ethereum? All this different stuff is coming up. What do you make of it? And do you have exposure to it?
Yeah, so I do. I have 12 other deeds. I was able to claim those, fortunately with my apes. But basically, I think the time horizon people are used to in the sort of PFP world, collectibles world, art world is really short, right? So they're looking to get something, hold on to it for 3 months, see the value go up and sell it. And the reality is the game development takes time, it takes years. And so there's a little bit of impatience. And I think that while everyone's kind of waiting for other side to be built, there's a lot of speculation, and every trickle of information that gets put out is then kind of priced in, and it goes up and down. And that's going to just keep happening for years. I mean, it's very possible that we don't see a playable game until middle of next year. And I fully expect that, just, you know, being in the games industry, I've watched countless like massive titles get delayed by 6 months, 12 months or more. And the whole point is just, you want to release a good game that's ready to play. One of the biggest games from last year, Cyberpunk 2077, got delayed several times. People were upset. And even when they did sort of rush it to market, it had a ton of bugs, and a game that cost hundreds of millions of dollars to make was kind of a letdown in the eyes of many. So, you know, from my perspective, if you're looking at Other Deeds as an investment, but more importantly as a game to play, just set your expectations, like see it as something you'll be enjoying, you know, later next year. And if that horizon is too long and you'd rather be more liquid and trade in, you know, pictures, that's cool. That's just a decision you have to make. But, you know, that's me just kind of like giving people perspective on how long they should expect to wait.
Yeah. And it seems like you have a longer time horizon. You know, what were your thoughts when the market kind of had this pullback? Is it something that worried you? Like, did you make buys at the quote unquote bottom, or are you expecting a lower bottom? I'd love to know what you think about the market right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great time. If you don't have to sell anything, it's a great time to be in the market and just scoop things up. Like, I always think about that meme of Kirby, and he's opening his mouth and just swallowing everything, and wind is going in, and he's just like eating everything up. That's kind of the best analogy for what you should be doing if you have liquidity right now. Like the classic expression of one ETH equals one ETH, one avocado equals one avocado. Like it's all the same. Like if you weren't planning on selling most of your stuff for the next year or so, the market is exactly where you need it to be, and you can just keep doing what you were going to do. If you need liquidity, and, you know, personally, I was in a situation where I'm in the process of a home purchase. It wasn't great that, you know, some of my high value items that I needed to liquidate were lower, but it's okay. And then as a builder, you know, we're launching a company right now that we've been working on for 6 months in the middle of a market that's a little bit more bearish. So I think it's humbling. It just kind of like focuses your attention, and, you know, you have to think long term and just kind of get through this. Like I've been in crypto since 2013. I was buying Bitcoin on Mt. Gox. I've seen this shit happen over and over and over, and I know it'll be okay. But I think a lot of people are newer to this space, and it's kind of scary to see, you know, your net worth, quote unquote, go down by 50%. So yeah, I mean, just be somewhat patient. I think by the same time next year, we'll all be fine. But we have to get through this downward, you know, part of the market.
Very well said, and can't wait to talk about BoardBox shortly. Everybody, make sure you retweet the tweet at the top for a chance to win. I do want to talk about some NFTs that are at a lower price point right now, especially during a bear market. You know, anybody on stage, I know Jesse's a trader, Ben is active in the market, Snacks, you know what's going on. Are there any NFTs that you guys have your eyes on right now that are maybe under one ETH or under a half ETH even? So that would be like under $1,000 that you think, you know, right now could be a good time to buy into. I'd be curious to hear, you know, what you think's going on. I know we got Solana Summer going on. A lot of people were screaming that in Easy's face yesterday at the VCon event. But yeah, would love to hear any thoughts on some of the lower end NFTs.
Well, I'm going to break the rules here, but my project goes live at 0.08 ETH at 3:14 p.m. Eastern today. Rare pizzas.
You're killing me, Snacks. Bringing up rare pizzas right now. Look, we got pizza here in the Midwest in Minneapolis, but okay, got it. Jesse, I mean, look, you're like a really active trader, but I haven't really heard you talking about buying and selling recently. Are you just taking time off because of the quote-unquote bear market?
Yeah, I've been a really inactive trader. I can't bring myself to buy. I'm not selling too low. Like I said, I sold a carton 2 days ago, kind of instantly regretted it. But I'm putting things at a price where I'm comfortable. So if they don't sell, I'm kind of like, oh, cool. I didn't want to sell it too low. But if they do, it's like, cool. I have more ETH. I mean, it's so hard. The one thing is, like I said, it seems like the post-reveal dumps are much worse in a bear market, I think. So you might want to look at some of that. I would not be, unless you're really into this Genesis. I like this Genesis, the Girls of Armament, like, but it's like 0.7, and I think it's going to dump post-reveal, even though I think everybody thinks the art is fantastic. So I would go after things that dunked. I still like this Black Genesis fashion project. You know, Zoe confirmed that it's a legit brand. It was 0.2 something, 0.2, 0.25 before reveal. Now it's down to 0.1. I mean, if you believe in fashion NFTs, I would definitely look at that at 0.1. But other than that, yeah, it's hard. You know, BFF bracelets are at 0.5. If you want to go on something there a little bit, you know, you think that has a potential, but it's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely tough, especially if you have short time horizon and you're trying to get in and out. Signal, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah. If it's a short time horizon, I would say if you put in the work to understand 10 KTF and their ecosystem, one of the best swing trades is the 10 KTF stock room, because depending on what's going on, the value of anything such as cloth can go down to point 0.17, and then all of a sudden it can just go up to 0.3. But to understand those swings, you need to understand what's going on in the story. So if you're willing to put in the work and you want to go in and out and trade, I think 10 KTF stockroom is one of the best under 0.5 ETH.
Yep. I was on a podcast a couple of weeks ago. This was before the big dump, I think, or maybe it was right after the big dump. And somebody asked me what's the best NFT under a half ETH. And I was going through the pages on OpenSea. And then I saw 10 KTF stock room under a half ETH. And at that time I said that was the best one. I think it's traded sideways since then, but on 10 KTF's run up, I was in and out of the cheapest stock room item. I think it was like super clean cloth. And those are 11 ERC 1155 tokens. So you can buy like three or four of them and pay a single gas fee and then sell them individually. So that, I mean, when 10 KTF is pumping, that's awesome. It's historically been an interesting project where it traded sideways for like 6 months, then exploded, then pulled back, then came up a little bit. The price action on 10 KTF is pretty weird. It's ahead of its time for sure. And a lot of people in the market don't understand it. Ben, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Ooh, yeah, first, I'd like to definitely agree with Signal. I think that's a very sharp point. And I believe 10 KTF did just open up some more crafting on the website. So if you have blanks or if you have the raw materials, you can start creating some new ones now. Some how it works is you connect your wallet and whatever NFTs you own, you can have them like superimpose onto a backpack or socks or whatever and mint those. That's a simple way of how it works. But I'd like to say one of the projects I think isn't getting enough love and should be, especially moving into the summer and the second half of the year. And I'm kind of front running this from my own buys because I do expect to purchase a little bit more. So I'm telling this before I even started buying in.
Oh, but, shit.
I do have a little bit of a bag, so it's not like I'm sitting on zero. But I think that the Pixel Vault ecosystem is just at such a low right now that it's like in an accumulation phase. And Signal with a meta here, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this after. But I think that right now, the pricing of the Pixel Vault Mint Pass number 2 at 0.15, I think is a really good bargain. And you're going to be able to mint the MetaHero sidekicks. And I think you get 2 sidekicks per mint pass. I'd be happy to be corrected if that's wrong. But I think those and the planets are pretty good, cheap entries, especially for people who are new to NFTs. And I've been watching G-Funk over the past like month or so kind of put out little hints that big things are coming. They just put out like a partial roadmap of things to expect. And he's been harping on the fact that, you know, they've been in build mode and trying to not pump with announcements, but just grind. And with the amount of money that they've taken in from all their sales, plus their funding round, I think, you know, is really positioning them to be not just a major player that they already are, but to have a really expansive ecosystem that is going to have longevity. So the pricing that we see now, I think, can take off with even the smallest of announcements about like sidekicks or the game or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, they have a ton of money. I was glad that you brought that up. If you didn't, I was going to bring it up, is they have so much money. It's the same thing as like Bored Ape Yacht Club situation, or Yuga Labs, I should say. They just have so many resources. It's also, in my opinion, notable to say that Mint Pass 2 is also at ERC 1155. And so right at the floor right now, you could buy a two pack. I mean, the literal floor is a two pack. You could buy a four pack or a six pack all under 0.16 ETH. So you pay one gas fee and you get a bunch of them. And then if there's any kind of run, then you can sell those individually and make good profit. And the person that buys them off of you pays the gas fee. So that's like the cool thing about ERC 1155 when there is a run. And that's the same thing as 10KTF. Signal, you're long, or you've been a Pixel Vault holder for a long time. Do you have anything to add?
84 years I've been waiting. Yeah, the thing about Pixel Vault is, like, you know, it's really set and forget strategy. So I would say, you know, everything that Benjamin says is 100% correct, but the timeline as to when the assets could potentially go up in value, that's very difficult to say. So you always have to think, okay, if I'm going to allocate money to Pixel Vault, you really just have to be set and forget, and when it happens, it happens. So that is the flip side to accumulating PV.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, it's clearly a longer build, and it'll be very interesting to see what they come up with. Maybe I'll bump into some of the Pixel Vault guys here at VCon. Speaking of that, we have Zach on stage, who we met yesterday, who we went to dinner with. Zach, what's going on with you in the NFT market? And yeah, I mean, I guess, how are you enjoying VCon so far?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's absolutely crazy out here, so I have no idea what Wap was talking about earlier. It's definitely not chill. They got a Ferris wheel in here.
You're at VCon right now.
Oh, I ended up making it inside. I started at 5 a.m. It was wrapped around the building twice. It's a 66,000 person arena wrapped around the building twice. So,
are you serious?
No, I'm completely fucking around. No, I didn't just get in. If people are lining up, we're all waiting for Gary V, because that's the thing, right? Everybody's all pumped up. The merch line is out the freaking wall. It's ridiculous. I might leave, make sure that you guys are all safe and secure getting in here, because obviously that's my only value here, finding out that I'm going to be your guys' security guard for the next 30 years. That's really what it comes down to. But no, you guys were great. I mean, I really appreciate some time yesterday meeting with these guys. If you get the opportunity to meet Nick and Pio, I highly would not recommend it.
Easy's the cool one,
okay.
Right?
Easy's okay. He's a New Englander, so, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But no, it's a good time. You know, I'm not like a lot of the sentiment here. I've been extremely quiet in the space of, I haven't really done anything with my NFTs. Really, V friends are my only thing right now. There's a small little project called the Portal, Nifty Alpha Portal I'm in. But other than that, I mean, pretty much I'm a small chip guy. What can I do for you guys? What can I tell you about there?
No, you're good, man. And yeah, we met Zach, and Zach's a brown belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So we know if anybody messes with us on this trip to VCon, we're good to go. So Nick can call more people out on this show and not worry about getting physically attacked, because we got someone, you know, on deck that's ready to rock and roll. Yeah, I mean, VCon's been super fun. Zach, in all seriousness, is there a crazy line right now? Because I think a lot of people thought that Gary.
There actually this morning there was a double wrapped around the building line at about 7 o'clock, because everybody, to Nick's point, was hyped about the Gary V be here at 7, and actually nothing happened.
That's hilarious.
So standard Gary V shill. No, I think if you wanted some really high-end merch, or like the merch that was gonna go out of sale, I think you would have gotten it if you were here super early. But you know, between Nick being hammered last night and me having to put him to bed, I wasn't really able to wake up early. So
yeah, Nick was chocolate wasted last night for sure. No alcohol, but definitely a lot of chocolate. Yeah, it's going to be I can't wait to go. You know,
I've yet to have any fucking chocolate at this event. I'm going to be honest, and it's disappointing.
Yeah, we're going to head over there. Nick's speaking tomorrow on a panel with, it sounds like, G Money and O'Shiny. So that's going to be really cool to watch. I'm going to definitely heckle Nick from the crowd aggressively because I got the easy job. I don't have to do anything. We also hung out with the Lyrical Lemonade guys yesterday, and that was super cool. And apparently they have an awesome, we saw some pictures of their setup at VCon today. It's really cool. So if anybody's at VCon, I think you're going to want to check that out. It seems pretty, pretty sweet, and we'll be bopping around over there. But on to our sponsors. We got Bored on stage, Masterful Tweeter, and you know, very deep in the video game space, it seems. And we have Bored Box on stage, which is the profile for, you know, the NFT project that we're promoting on this sponsored space right now. So, Bored, you've been on the show before. We've been talking about your NFT experience, and I know you're deep in NFTs, and you've come on just to chat about NFTs before. But, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about Bored Box, and reminder to everybody, make sure that you retweet the tweet at the top. We're actually giving away two Bored Box NFTs, and those are going to be selling today for one ETH each. So this is, if you ask me, a pretty damn good opportunity. So make sure you retweet the tweet at the top. And at the end of the show, if you're in the audience, we're going to be calling two winners at random for those Bored Box NFTs. But Bored, I mean, take it away. I can't wait to hear about the project.
Well, worth noting, since I'm in the West Coast, I was told to show up at 6 a.m. my time for this show. And the benefit of that was I get to go on stage. So pretty good. No merch. And you guys delivered on the hype here. So I appreciate it. The biggest thing is I wanted to just get everyone to have a chance to get to know me, right? The character beyond Bored, Bored Elon Musk on Twitter. But spent 10 years in the video game business, got really involved in NFTs last year, and it really clicked for me how it was going to change gaming for the better, to really give power to the players. So for about 6 months, I've been working on building Bored Box, and essentially it is a box of game assets. Like our whole mission basically is to help people discover awesome blockchain games that are either on the market today or coming really soon. So we're packaging up 5 items per box. And the cool thing is we've worked really closely with all the game studios. This isn't like an arbitrage business where we're buying up game assets and putting them up in a box and reselling them. Each game item that people are going to see next week when we do our reveal is customized and only exists because of the Bored Box partnership. And so they are going to be unique items that only exist in the Bored Box. And then we are doing our big reveal next Tuesday. So we've been basically doing a slow mint this week, really trying to vet, you know, who is buying a Bored Box, looking for people who love video games, who have, who are bullish about blockchain gaming. And so we've been doing a slow mint allow list basically for this whole week, giving people time to pick one up. And then today at 10 a.m., we're going to open it up to the public. And our hope is, like, this is not a tool for flippers. You know, we want people to buy the boxes, try out the games, demo them out. Not everybody's going to like all 5 games, but the goal is for you to keep 2 or 3 of them. And for the ones you don't like, hey, there's OpenSea. It's a great return policy for any games you don't like. And for anybody who goes on our site, boardbox.io, you'll see that the counter, like the timer we have, is not counting down to a mint. It's counting down to our reveal event on Tuesday. So for anybody who's watched like a Nintendo Direct or Sony State of Play or E3, you might remember seeing basically a big reveal with game trailers and interviews with developers. That's exactly what we're doing. We're treating this basically like a traditional video game show. So on Tuesday, we're going to reveal what's inside the box. We'll show previews of all the games that are inside. We'll spend about an hour talking to the developers and interviewing all of them and what inspired them. And it's all going to be about games. It's not going to be about floor prices or investments or economics. It's just going to be about, why are these games cool? What's the lore? What's the gameplay? And then we'll have a big Twitter space. So kind of like a 2 to 3 hour online event that is basically bringing the world of traditional gaming to blockchain gaming.
Awesome. And so, you know, on the subject of blockchain, this is an Ethereum project. And so, you know, how does that kind of play into it? Because a lot of people have speculated that other chains or layer twos will actually be favorable for gaming. Is this like you buy the NFT and then that gives you access to the platform where the games are?
So we'll keep it really simple. The boxes themselves are going to be on Ethereum, but we're going to be chain agnostic when it comes to which ones we support. So for the first drop, all the games that are participating in the Bored Box Genesis are going to be either on Ethereum or Polygon. Basically, when people take their Bored Boxes to our site and go to claim their game items, those items will be sent to their wallet, and then they'll keep the Bored Box. It'll show that it's been opened, but they will keep that. And that effectively will become like a game pass and provide other value and utility in the future. But in the subsequent boxes that we release, we want to do multiple ones per year. We want to have games on Solana, on Immutable, potentially Avalanche. And so the process will be really easy. You go to claim your games. Once you have your box, you punch in the wallets that you want it sent to, and that'll be that. Like, we don't want to restrict awesome games because of what chain they're on. So yes, the Bored Box itself will be on Ethereum, But yeah, we'll very quickly expand to basically every chain that has good games on it.
Awesome.
It can you make sure? Oops, sorry.
Go ahead, Snacks. Go ahead.
I just want to know if we can make sure we can wear the board box in the games, like in Metal Gear Solid.
That's pretty great. Is the board box a weapon that lets you silently skulk around and get through levels? I don't know. We'll see.
Ben, do you have a question for Board?
Yeah. What's up, Board? My question would be, like, when you say you open up the box and get the games, are you getting, like, access to play the game, or are you getting items that would be found in the games?
Yeah, so it's both. You're going to get 5 game items from 5 different games, and these assets can be used in those games. And in some cases, having those assets will be what lets you play early game demos. So, like, if a game is in alpha or beta, we've worked out basically deals with these game studios so that those game assets basically give you access. A lot of the times the games are accessible for anybody to play. So you don't necessarily need these game items to play. And that's a good thing, right? Like, no good game designer wants to restrict who can play their game. They want as many players as possible. So the actual product that you're getting is a rare game item that works in the games that we are promoting.
It sounds definitely great. And you mentioned that you have that 10-year experience in the gaming industry. Is there something, you know, in the way that you're approaching this, I see you have, you know, it looks like 3 co-founders or 3 team members, and I'm familiar with at least one of them. Is there something different about the way that you are approaching this, like putting an emphasis on the games being fun? You know, I think that we're, you know, we talked about this earlier, just still being like in our infancy in the NFT space when it comes to video games. Is there something unique about the way that you're approaching this, given your experience from the traditional video game industry?
Yeah, I mean, everything we're doing in terms of like how we're, you know, communicating, how we're talking about these games is similar to what you would see in traditional gaming. So like I said before, we're not going to talk about financial advice or floor prices or like investments. We're going to talk about why the games are awesome and why they're fun. And so like that is going to be something that's very visible in all of our channels, all on our site. Even now, like, I mean, yes, I will say, you know, it is a 1 ETH box and you get 5 items, and that's pretty much the only number I want to mention. But yeah, that's a big differentiator, because I think what you see right now in the blockchain gaming space is almost like DeFi with extra steps. You know, people are, you know, farming for coins and making money, and it's turning into work. And that's not what the vast majority of people on this planet use games for. They use it for fun. So that's really what we're focused on. And that means that we are selling to a smaller base of potential customers, right? Because we're not necessarily trying to get investors to buy these boxes. We're looking for people who want to play games and own the assets they play with.
Yeah, it makes sense. And how many boxes are there total?
So we're dropping 1,000 boxes, a very small number because it is a high price point, but there's a lot that comes with it. And that was very strategic, because instead of doing like the typical 10,000 or 20,000 item drop at once, we want to spread it throughout the year, because the big thing for us is putting on these events where we showcase games. So if we can do that 3 or 4 times a year and spread out the news and you know, give people who are buying boxes or not an opportunity to just see like what are the hot games right now that I should be paying attention to, it's a lot easier to do that multiple times a year versus having like one focused event.
Is that like a physical in real life event, or more like, you know, over Zoom or something like that?
We're just doing virtual right now. So it'll be, like I referenced earlier, it'll be similar to what you might see from like Nintendo or Microsoft when they do a reveal, right? So it's game trailers, it's chats with game developers and Twitter spaces. So yeah, I mean, in the future, I would love to rent out a vintage arcade and just have events there, and people who with board boxes can go and play for free and like meet people in the gaming industry. That's a future plan, but for now we're doing all virtual.
And that makes sense. Like, right, in the NFT space, you're decentralized. If you can get to a big time level, then obviously the in-person events make sense, especially during the week of like NFT NYC or something like that. But I definitely think that focus on decentralized at first is definitely good. Yeah. Snacks has his hand raised. What's going on?
I was just wondering, Board, are you approaching these NFTs more as access passes, in-game flair, or in-game utility, or some combination? Like, how are you thinking about them?
Somewhat of a combination. So the initial product itself is you're getting 5 game items for 5 games. After you go and claim those items, the box remains in your wallet. It isn't burned. And so that opened box then becomes an access pass and sort of a mint pass of sorts. So the thing is, with the game partners we're working with, we don't want it to be sort of a one and done relationship. Like, you get the item and you're done. We're going to keep working with them. And so they're going to be, you know, creating new content, sending out airdrops, providing like new demos. And so we're going to keep going to them and asking them to send those goodies back to the board box holders. And over time, there's going to be thousands and thousands of people who have these open board boxes in their wallet. And that's a really valuable set of players for these games. And so those open to board boxes will retain value. The other thing we're going to do is, because we are going to be, you know, selling board boxes in the future, people who have opened boxes will get priority to mint new ones in the future.
And that's what I expected, something like that, given the 1,000 supply. Nick, go ahead.
So the structure of this, like, there's two business models that come to mind. There's AppSumo, which is a discount approach, which I'm sure that that's not how you're viewing it, but I think of them as sort of a vehicle or channel for other businesses, essentially, to acquire customers. So it's a customer acquisition channel. Then there's Steam would be another, which is like a marketplace. Are you because it sounds like you're associating with all these partners. Is that kind of how you're thinking of structuring this business? Is essentially, it's a reward system. It's an incentive system for other game developers to onboard some initial users into their game. Like, what's like it? So is that what it is? Is it like B2B to C essentially? Is there, or like, how are you thinking about this?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely on the opposite end of sort of the Humble Bundle or AppSumo approach, more of a boutique, right? So, like, let's source the best possible games or game assets for players and then put on events to basically give attention and, you know, spotlight really great games. So it's a little bit of a media business and a little bit of a UA or user acquisition business, but it's not taking sort of like the volume approach or like the discounting approach. Because, I mean, we want to honor the game developers and, you know, make sure that they're getting compensated for the hard work they're doing. But it's borrowing from a lot of models you've seen. But it's not, you know, we don't necessarily want to go like the marketplace approach and be like a Steam. There's plenty of places where people can trade game items right now. Fractal's one of them, and there's a few others. So ours is more of like, we're addressing the noise, right? There's so much going on. You don't know what games to play. You don't have time. We're going to try to curate that and show you some of the best ones out there for you to pay attention to.
And the value to the game developer in this case, is the time frame when they're delivering that is like early on in game development, so that they have like this core audience of key people who are kind of like early adopters slash, I mean, I'm sure if there's a Discord or something, pseudo advisors, like is that kind of the pitch to them?
Yeah, I mean, it is. They're going after a relatively small cohort of people, right? Because like gamers, that's a really big audience, but gamers who also understand what a web wallet is and know how to trade in cryptocurrency and understand what NFTs are is small, right? So the goal is like half the people in this room, for example, love video games. And so those people are really valuable to these studios. And if we can help find those people who are going to actually want to like hold on to these assets and play the games for a long time, that's what they want. They don't want people just, you know, buying up their assets and trading them. Like, the game developers want gamers. And so we're helping bridge those two groups.
And are the games available to be played immediately? Like, how exactly does that part work?
Yeah, so our goal was that every box will have at least one playable game today. I'm happy to say that the first box has two games that are available. One is going to be for PC and the other is for mobile. And then the three others should be playable in some fashion in the next 6 months. And in the future, we really want to just include games that are launching in 6 months or less, because we don't want assets sitting in people's wallets and, you know, trigger fingers might be selling when the prices go up. So that's the goal. Like, we want to deliver games that are either here, you know, today or coming very soon.
And, you know, one thing I always like to ask any project about is the team. And people hear me talking about the importance of team and, you know, who's actually behind a project. So obviously, you know, you have, it sounds like, deep experience in the traditional video game industry. You said you've worked in that industry for a decade. And, you know, the way I think a lot of people, myself included, know you is by, you know, the fact that you built up a very large following on Twitter. Obviously, I think that's evident through really like comedy writing and parody, right? What can you say about the other team members that are helping you with Board Box, like their backgrounds and who they are?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my co-founder is somebody who comes from e-commerce and specifically focused on a business that you know, kind of deals in curation of goods for people. one of our lead engineer is a fellow ape, really talented guy, NetDragon X. But it's a small and scrappy team. I mean, we're going to try to keep it to under 10 people, honestly, because it is kind of a boutique business. And it's a business that's taking up most of my time. I mean, I've been dabbling in a lot of things for the last 2 years, but this is really like my core focus. And it's because I love gaming and I really want to elevate blockchain gaming to be bigger than it is today. But yeah, I mean, I think it's important. You know, as you alluded to, I've been around for a while. I've built up a following. I've been trying to do lots of podcasts and spaces and writing because I do want people to understand, like, I'm someone that can be trusted. Like, you don't have my government ID, but we have a real corporation and we have responsibilities. And I have a reputation that I definitely don't want to lose. And I think the biggest thing is, like, what I'm really proud of is if you ask me to get 100 or 1,000 people to vouch for me today to say that I'm somebody you should invest in, I could do it for you. And I never want to lose that. So, you know, yes, there have been a lot of sort of rug pulls and anons who have kind of run off with people's money. I'm trying to set an example that's the opposite of that to show people that you can run a legit business and, you know, build trust and a strong reputation.
Yeah. And on that subject, I think people are always curious, you know, could you kind of shed a little bit of light on the sort of Anon thing? Obviously, it's deep in the NFT space. Bored Ape Yacht Club were Anon until they ended up getting doxxed. I think, I don't know about against their will or kind of seemed that way. Could you shed some light on, you know, what the Anon thing means to you and, you know, just like how that kind of came about?
I mean, I definitely like backed into it by accident. I did not plan on being an Anon for 8 years. This was just like a joke that went really far. No, I think it's good. You should be able to sort of partition your identity. You don't have to bring your whole self to everything that you do. Like, you know, Bored Elon is sort of the gamer nerd who loves NFTs. And like, that's the part that's relevant. You don't necessarily need to know my home address and all that. And more importantly, what I say to people, like besides sort of protecting my privacy, which is great for me, more importantly, like I think people just should have like creative freedom and the ability to experiment and do stupid shit and fail and not be afraid of how they're going to look in public. Like if you do something under a pseudonym, you try something out that's outside of your sort of norm or outside of what people expect of you, you have this shield and this bravery that you might not have if your name was attached to it. So that's why I tell people to try this thing out. But you have to put in the time, right? Like if you're starting from scratch and nobody knows your real name, you do have to put in some time and build some trust and make sure that, you know, people will want to work with you. And for those who are investing in projects that are run by, you know, pseudonyms or Anon, it's kind of a personal choice. Like how much information do you need personally to trust someone to give them your money? A lot of people have been pretty loose, honestly, lately, in my opinion, with investing and people who like spun up accounts, you know, 6 months ago. I would never personally do that. But it's ultimately, it's your decision what you want to put your money into.
Yeah, definitely. And so reminder, everybody, retweet the tweet at the top. We're going to be giving away two board boxes from Bored. Those are going to be selling at one ETH. So those are one ETH value, and we're giving away two of them. I'm going to get the drum roll going in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to give everybody a chance to get that retweet. And if they haven't retweeted it already and just stick around, we're going to be doing this in just a couple of minutes. Oh, wow. It looks like people. Okay. Yeah. The retweets are coming in. Anybody else have any questions for Bored before we start to draw winners? Anybody on stage at all have any questions for Bored? Snacks, go ahead.
Yeah. So the 1,000 NFT, is that like a meta from Proof that you were inspired? Like the kind of slow growth, bigger collection, later strategy? Is that a meta other projects are trying to? And is that where you got it? Or
it's just a clean, it's a clean number. No, I mean, you know, hats off to what they've done. We've been planning this for a while and can't say that, you know, we took that number as like a meta from other projects, but the thousand Genesis boxes that we're dropping will always be special. In the future, we might, you know, change things up in terms of our strategy and release frequency and quantities and all that. But no, a thousand was a really like a strong number that we felt was good for the initial release. And over time, you know, we really want this entire market to expand. So in the future, you know, maybe it's 2024, there could be 100,000 Bored boxes out on the market, but these 1,000 will remain special.
Awesome. And one last question. People in our Discord are asking just how you came up with the one ETH number for the mint cost, you know, paired with the 1,000. So if you could shed some light on that, and then I'm going to get this drum roll ready and get these random winners picked.
Yeah, for sure. Fair question, right? Like launching a luxury gaming project in the middle of a bear market. It's a super good idea. I know. We, you know, the five game items that we're including in the box, as I said, like we've worked closely with each individual game studio to co-create something that is rare, that is unique to their ecosystem. And we feel like that is what is fair. I mean, the analogy I look at is just traditional video games. Like when you buy a game that's, you know, $70 or $60, that is the value that the game developer has put on that game. If you buy an arcade machine for your house that costs $1,400, you pay for that because it's badass and it's fun. You know, we think board boxes are going to be badass and fun. We think the game developers worked really hard to make those assets. And we are not treating these as like investments. You know, we're not saying that, you know, you should pay one ETH because it's an investment that's going to pay off tenfold over time. We're saying like these are super valuable because they're amazing products and great games that you'll enjoy and that you'll want to own over the long period. So that's my sort of like corporate PR answer to that question. I think that on Tuesday, once we reveal what's inside, people are going to be really excited. For those who want to wait till the reveal to see what's inside the board boxes, I totally understand. You know, we're asking for a lot of trust to have one ETH be invested in this thing. But for those who want to grab them before the reveal on Tuesday, you know, we think you'll be happy once you come to that date.
All right.
I mean, So it's available for mint right now. You can just go to the site and mint it for one ETH.
Not yet. It's 10 a.m. today. It'll be open for public minting. Up until that point, it's all allowless.
10 a.m. Midwestern time, Pacific time.
In the metaverse, there's no time zone. No, 10 a.m. 10 a.m. Western.
Pacific. Okay, so got
Pacific
it.
Pacific time. Yep.
I called it Midwestern time. I want to be clear, that is not a time zone, everybody. So if you're wondering, I'm on Midwest time right now, though. So
that's an hour and a half earlier than Eastern.
It's a confusing time zone. Yo, so are we doing this?
We're doing it, man. I'm seeing some people are buzzer beatering.
Like moments left to click the retweet button. You got a chance here. And then Pio is going to draw the winner. Let's be clear. The way that this usually works is in a disastrous form. And so what happens is when we pick the retweet winner, you can request to come on stage. There's a good chance we won't see you. What you'll have to do is DM. And so are they DMing you, Pio?
Yeah, they can DM me. Just make sure that you DM me pronto and just say like, hey, I won. And then just send me your wallet outright and I'm just going to get it to our staff and we're going to get you that that board box.
Can I give you a quick recommendation, Nick? Along with the retweet, just have them comment their ETH address right below the post so then you could just drop it right in. And if they don't do that, then they can't win.
That's an interesting approach, but then you got to sift through all of the replies.
Yeah, there's a lot of replies.
Just go to their account and look at like
Recent tweets. Yep, you are correct. Twitter genius over here.
That's fair. I mean, just spam me your wallet address. Seriously.
We will do that on future drops. In the interim, we don't want to disqualify the 1,000 retweeters right now. So. You got one last second. Pio's going to give the draw. Pio, what message do you want them to send you when they send you a DM?
So you want to send pictures of your feet? No, I'm just kidding. Just send me...
Okay, so like, feet pictures. Got it.
Just send me like that you won. I mean, look, we're going to know your name and just immediately send me your wallet. And I'm just going to get it to our staff and boom, we're good to go.
Bada bing, bada boom, bam. You got yourself a board box.
The box does include pictures of feet, by the way, if that helps.
Oh, what?
Listen to all this value. Holy shit.
Throwing in another element into this box. Okay.
You know what's crazy, guys, too? So with 1,000 retweets and it's 2 ETH value, that's about $4 expected value per person. So that's some real alpha for the audience.
We are creating value. Everybody in the audience, you are now, or everyone that retweeted, you are now $4 richer, no matter how this goes. How amazing is that?
That'd be an expected value outcome of your action is $4 right now. So, but that's not the expected value. I'm gonna say the expected value of you clicking that is zero. But anyways, let's dive in. You said you had the drum roll ready. You want to go for it?
Here we go. 1,016 retweeters. I'm clicking on it.
We got ourselves a winner.
I mean, I'm clicking on it on this thing that you sent me. How come is it giving me what's going on, Nick?
Sorry that you're incapable of logging into a site.
I got it. It's at @NOO_SAAR Yasinos. So at _NOO.
New SAR.
Yes. And I'm going to look for you in the crowd. This is winner number one. So NOO.
I see them.
You see them. Invite them to the stage.
I invited you to speak.
I'm going to DM you right now, Yasinos, and I'm going to say, hey.
No. Have them DM.
Okay. They can DM. I just invited them to the stage.
Or if that you come is on stage.
Come on stage, Yasinos. We want to talk to you. Come on up.
Or
we
come on down.
Come up wherever. Come up the stairs to
go
the stage.
Go any direction, frankly, because you're in the metaverse.
I just invited you to speak. Come on stage right now. We have room on stage for you. You are the first winner.
And you're allowed on our metaverse land anytime. No cost to you whatsoever.
The best part of this absolute clusterfuck of a giveaway that you guys can do is that there's no way anybody can claim that any of this was rigged. Like, this is clearly on the up and up, or this would go way smoother.
We intentionally make it challenging. Hey, everybody, don't worry. We got some like even more challenging giveaways coming up. It's going to be quite difficult for you to win. So get excited about those.
Jesse's going to win the second box now after he says that.
Wait, were you giving away a second box? You heard it here first.
Nick, what have you been sleeping the whole show? Holy shit. Oh, we got Yasinos on stage from Meme Land. Yasinos, you are the big winner. How do you feel right now?
Holy shit. You need to get a new sound effect on that one.
We're paying the guy. We're going to get all that new stuff. But Yasinos, what's going on? Oh, come on. Unmute. All right. Well, we got a winner. They're on stage. It's unclear whether they're a bot. I don't know. Nick, do you want to ask Yasinos anything while they stay
guys,
muted?
It's probably Kevin from last night asking us if we want dessert. It's really
for clarity on what went down there, someone was repeatedly, after we said no to dessert, would not accept no as an answer, forced me to take a menu to review the menu. I reviewed the menu and then said no yet again. And then he came back later after like 10 minutes later and was like, all right, guys, anybody interested in dessert?
After the bill had already been paid and we were about to get up, signals the hell out of here since bed.
Little did he know you already had a popsicle for that night.
Okay, are we picking a second winner here?
I think that this person, Yasinos, is legit a bot. They're on stage right now. They're muted. They have not DM'd me. They seem to follow me.
Proof of humanity. Proof of humanity, please.
You will. If you don't DM PO, you don't win it. We're going to remove you off stage now, or you got to unmute. There you are.
I'm here. I was putting like my mic off and I'm talking.
All right. Yasinos, you're here, buddy. Hey, thanks for joining. How do you feel right now?
I'm shocked, actually. Like, I just like retweet and I don't think in mind that I'm going to win. Like, it's I get surprised. So I don't have words, actually.
Well,
hell yeah, Yasinos.
I wouldn't have expected to win either, but here you are. You've made it to the promised land. Congratulations.
So like, by the way, I'm a part of like NFT portal community is like the best community ever. I swear.
What?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, Yasinos. Fuck yeah. Thank you for being in our community. Can you send me a DM right now so that I have your wallet address, please?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I'm going to let, or I'm just going to remove, I mean, Kix hasn't said anything in a million years. I'm just going to remove Kix. You're done for the day, Kix, so that we can let one more person on stage. So here we go. I guess you technically could have retweeted the tweet again during that Yesenos winner call out, but here we go. Let's get another one. For some reason, go long. For some reason, dude, I hate this thing. It gave us Yesenos. I'm clicking on it, just waiting for it to load. When is it going to load? Come on now. I'm just slamming on this.
What are you clicking? You just refreshed the page.
Oh, well, I'm back to the retweets page where I'm clicking on this tweet. Oh, there
you
go.
You click on the number on the left-hand side.
I didn't know that. I just figured that out. So we have Griffy62, G-R-I-F-F, or it's actually Griff162, G-R-I-F-F-162.
Doesn't show up on me for speakers.
Doesn't show up for me either.
Got to shoot a DM. You got about 60 seconds. Pio, for context, the audience is on a very short lag. In case anybody on here curses, we're able to go in there and moderate that for them being a stupid piece of crap.
Okay. Well, Yesenos DM'd the wallet already, so Yesenos did what they had to do. I'm waiting for a DM from our buddy Griff162. I'm going to give you 10 seconds, Griff, or how much time, Nick? What do you think?
You got to give him 60 seconds at least, man.
Okay. Well, the drum roll is going for one more 30-second run. So here we go, Griff. We need the DM. Otherwise, we're going to refresh, and we're going to give somebody else the board box. Come on now, Griff.
What? I like Pio's. Come on now, man. Okay, like, hurry up here. Look, we got to go. We got to end this, and you're causing us to go over. Can you just hurry up and shoot the DM? I mean,
people got to get into the convention center at VCon.
Like, TikTok. We got to get in there. I got to go stand in line, you know?
And here's the posters. Yeah, here's the normal, some random person that's not this person, Griff. DM'd
okay,
me.
Next person. Pick that's the next the person.
Yeah, yep. And
hey, and shout out to that person who just got screwed and is going to send Pio an angry message. Really, like, Pio gets to look forward to that.
So we got S'more Cafe. It's S-M-O-E-R-K-A-F-F-E. S-M-O-E-R-K-A-F-F-E. Let's see if you are in the audience.
It doesn't show up for me. You got to shoot a DM. So do that.
Does anyone remember that place? Cozy? Like that chain? That
sandwiches.
You
yeah.
Morris?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Haven't done that in a while.
Is it dead?
It's a fancy corner bakery.
Corner bakery was a classic. Wow.
Yes. So no, nothing from S'more Cafe yet. Someone did just DM me, go long. That's pretty funny. Where is S'more Cafe? Where are you?
We need some more winners here. Look, here's the deal. Just pick like three. We'll shout them out. The first one of those three to DM, you win. Game over. That's the new game. So pick the next person. Some more. You're on the list. If you don't DM them, you don't get it. Next
we got,
one.
In the first one that DMs wins, that's it. I don't know what to tell you. We got a Bored Ape, RNFTMC7. So I'm shouting you out. RNFTMC7 is their name. I'm shouting them out. All right, I'm refreshing again. We got a football guy, Ronald Maxey 999. So that's Ronald Maxey 999. Let me check my DM, see if anybody
hit. Is Ronald, what do you say, a football guy? He's a real football player? Hey, go long, Ronald. Go long.
All these jerks are DMing me that are not the people that won. I'm just going to delete these conversations. But neither of those
this
people.
This has been painful. I'm going to be honest. We're going to have to come through a better approach. Benjamin, shout out to you for coming up with a better approach. This has been 10 minutes of us literally struggling to get someone. Just say 10 more names, dude. Just fire them off. Just keep going.
Oh, we got it. The Bored Ape guy. Ronald Maxey beat him to it. So Ronald Maxey.
Wow, the race. Ronald Maxey coming in. He went long and he caught the pass. Look at that, Ronald.
We got our two winners. We got Ronald Maxey and Yacinos. Thanks so much for joining, everybody. Thank you, Board, for sponsoring this show and sharing all that info about Board Box and for allowing us to give away a few Board Box NFTs here that we gave away. Any closing thoughts, Board?
Thanks for having me on the show, guys. It's always great. I legitimately laughed out loud at the weather report. That was so awesome. It's going to make me want to tune in every day. And for everybody else who tuned in, thank you so much. See you guys at 10 a.m. Pacific time, not Western time, for those who want to participate in the Open Mint. And if you have any questions, just hit me up or the Board Box Twitter account, and we'll help you out.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. If you're at VCon, say what's up. Say hello. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific time. Board Box goes live. One ETH mint price, 1,000 supply. And we will see you guys next time. This is Young Gravy from Minneapolis. See you guys.
Young Gravy in the house.